Says
it says here, I'm Charles Sarber, which is his grandpa. I'm going to talk to you about Lawrence, his mental condition and status and illness, and his way out behavior condition. It says,
one day, many moons ago,
who art in heaven, I fell followed be thy name, signature, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and morning our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive them those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from Lawrence Smith and Ireland from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the energy and the glory forever and evermore. Selah. Amen.
Oh, sweet serenade, please come to me.
It says, witness to the resurrection. Funeral service for Charles Sarber, Monday, October the 2nd, 1972, 11 o'clock a.m. It says, concluding service and instrument at Crown Hill Cemetery. Pill bearers, Kenneth Smith, Fred Stokes, who is a joint with Greta Stokes, Robert Norman, who is a joint with Roberta Norman, Zeke Aiton, Charles Ingram, who is a joint with Marlene Ingram, Urban Butler, who is a joint with Marlene Butler, Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, 2801 North Guilford Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46205. It says here, Charles Sarber, son of Richard and Roxy Sarber, was born in Sumner County, Tennessee. He was reared in this community and attended the public schools until age of 16 decades. He moved to Indianapolis, Indiana, where he spent the rest of the remainder of his life. Charles Sarber was employed by International Harvester Company, from which he was retired a few decades ago. He united with Emmanuel Presbyterian Church and served as a deacon, an elder. He was faithful and loyal member, always willing to serve his church and his fellow women. Charles Sarber, which is his grandpa, although I'm thinking back and bidding him being with us this afternoon. Charles Sarber, I know Lawrence is thinking of you and you've been thinking and asking about him. And Lawrence doesn't understand why he hasn't been dreaming of you. But, Charles Sarber, the reason why I want to let you know why we had you on our mind, because Lawrence was Thursday the 16th of September, of 2010, Lawrence was grieving over his school teacher, Matilda Francine Wilson, because he couldn't understand why God took her. You know, what it was, he was thinking about what you told him and what you said to him about learning and education. And as he remembers, you told him that he may not have liked this teacher, but Matilda Francine Wilson had something he needed and something he should have wanted. And he realizes it now. But his deceptional hidden matter of liability is that he's a bundle of nerves. He gets uptight, he gets upset the least little thing that happens. And Thursday, see, he did well that following morning and up to the latter part of the afternoon. But when his mother came in his bedroom and said something to him and asked him a question Thursday the 16th of September 2010, he couldn't think of anything to say, an answer to give or nothing to tell. So he had to sit up there and squeal. And the same thing when we at Warman, he was out a Sunday and he meant to say it one way, but he twisted things ass backwards. And when she criticized him of something he said wrong, again with that outburst, that desire and anxiety and temptation and notion of him sitting up there having to squeal. And I don't know what it causes a person to squeal like they do. I don't know whether it's Tourette or what it is. But I'm going to see if I can get that remedy so he won't be doing that no more. Because I see Charles Sarver on Thursday the 16th of September, when that happened, he attempted to squeal like he did and make that crazy noise and do that real cry. Mother Teresa wasn't with him. See, Evelyn, Aunt Ruth, Aunt Grace was probably with him. Richard, Uncle Gene, and Uncle Charles, Vernon Dolly, I bet his mother Agnes Britton was with him. But Mother Teresa wasn't with him. Because if Mother Teresa had been with him, he wouldn't have done that. And I remember when he was on West 31st Street, a kid and a child early age, he was doing that. And you whipped his butt good for him about that. But he kept on doing it. You tore his ass up with that switch, but he kept on doing it. I don't know whether it's nerves, stress, or what it is. But I'm going to ask St. Michael to rid him of it and help him to conquer that. Because when he was out to Greenwood a year ago, H. Perry Smith spoke to Lawrence about that. And he told him that other people won't tolerate it, it won't be accepted in society, and that's not befitting, be designing, and be turning of a grown-up to squeal like that. And if he ever went out in society and did that and around everybody else and did that, out he would go, they would be through with him. They would have wiped their hands off of him. So, Lawrence has probably been thinking of you and you've been thinking and asking about him. But, Charles Sarver, I want to let you know that I have forgiven you of what you did with Lawrence's gold cart. Although H. Perry Smith got you spoken, told, and lectured about what you did. We have forgiven you. And we've forgiven his Aunt Eunice what he did. She did. The things she did. But no matter what the situation it is, when Lawrence ever feels himself getting uptight like that, he should go to his mother and talk to her and let her know what's going on with him. And get right with God. And explain the situation and be able to express himself and talk and communicate. Because I don't think he would like it if someone would attempt to squeal like that around him. So I'm going to have St. Michael and them to get that remedy with him. So he won't be doing that no more. Because if somebody else heard him do that, they go away and talk about him. He'd be mimicked, laughed at, made fun of. And it would be embarrassing. But I'm going to always keep you on mind, Charles Sarver.
The name of this is Martyr Sturgeon, Luke Dwellington, for all we understand. And I know how it goes.
Oh,
but with a blues emery crushing.